It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
This is the Fox News Rundown Extra. I'm Jessica Rosenthal. This week we spoke with Wall Street Journal senior writer John Hilzenrath about his new book on Janet Yellen, the current Treasury Secretary. She was once Federal Reserve Chair, and she was previously chair of the White House Council of Economic Advisers. She's the only person to have ever held all three roles. We talked to Hilzenrath about why he focused on her. Spoiler alert, it's in part due to the economist she's married to, and about what he gleaned in looking back over 60 years of American economic history. Yes, Milton Friedman's name was dropped at that point. But we also spoke with him about inflation, the upcoming holidays, and whether or not we all plan to spend big this season or not. We often have to cut interviews down for time during the week, but we thought you might like to hear this full interview. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to the Weekday Rundown podcast if you haven't already. Now, here's John Hilzenrath on the Fox News Rundown Extra.
We still have the Fed. We don't know exactly what's next, but unemployment's still low. Rates are still high. What's your sense of either the Fed's next move or where we're going here as we head into the holiday season, just broadly when you look at the economic landscape?
Well, the economy is at something of a crossroads. So 2022 was a year of sustained inflation, higher than many of the policymakers in Washington expected or wanted. And the risk here is that in their efforts to stop it, 2023 could be a year of recession and rising unemployment. And this holiday season is going to send some important signs about which way we're going, whether inflation cools on the one hand and whether consumers start buckling under the weight of not only high prices, but also high interest rates.
I heard an interview with Wharton finance professor Jeremy Siegel on Monday. He said the Fed could pause rate hikes and things would be fine. And he actually predicts we're going to get some like positive data soon, and that these forecasts that things are going to get worse and we're heading into like a worse financial situation are wrong. I mean, that made me happy. But while we see like maybe a slowdown in housing and tech, do we see other slowdowns? Like what's your deeper read based on the first question?
So this is the problem with forecasting, is when you're forecasting, it's about the future and most people have no idea what the heck is going to happen. So the problem for the Fed is that a lot of people a year ago and a year and a half ago were saying inflation was going to cool down and it didn't. So the Fed is a bit reluctant right now to declare victory because it looked like victory was on the horizon in the past and it wasn't. Now, there are some signs that inflation is cooling. We got some decent numbers for the month of October. Gasoline prices have come off their highs, hotels, airfares. But other areas are kind of sticky, like rents and food. So The Fed has got another meeting in December, and by all accounts, they're going to raise interest rates once again. And the question really is, have they done, you know, when the Fed raises interest rates, it takes time to kind of feed through the economy. For instance,
I thought that stuff gets baked in, right? I thought even heading into a possible rate hike, it's, well, this was already factored in that we were going to see that.
Well, I mean, the markets factor some of it in. The stock market is certainly constantly trying to factor it in. But think about a person with an adjustable rate mortgage. Mm. So that rate adjusts once a year. So you might not even have had the hit from the big interest rate increases yet. It might still be looming. Or think about rents. Those leases adjust every year or two. So as much as rents have already increased, some people might still be staring at those rate increases down the road. So these things, that, you know, as much as the market is this kind of daily, hourly, the stock market, this daily, hourly barometer of how people feel about the economy, the actual gears of the economy don't run quite as fast as the market perceptions of it do.
Other than housing, the tech sector seems to be struggling. We see this obviously with layoffs. I think Twitter is its own beast because of the Elon Musk takeover, but Meta laid off thousands. Amazon is apparently getting ready to, which feels odd to announce that before the holidays. But Morgan Stanley analysts said these particular layoffs are not indicators of things to come in other sectors. Do you agree? And what should we take away from thousands and thousands of layoffs in the tech sector?
Well, I mean, layoffs are layoffs, and I think it would be foolish to dismiss them. I mean, the question is the tech sector a leading indicator of what's going to happen to the rest of the economy, or is it isolated? I mean, it's hard to call it isolated because it's become such an important part of American economic activity, especially in, you know, tech hubs like Northern California. It is the case that tech went through an unusual cycle during COVID because people were sheltered at home and, you know, those Amazon trucks were rolling by all day, every day. Yeah. So, you know, it might have become – tech might have become unusually overheated during the COVID lockdowns, and now it's pulling back some. But it's not really just tech. I mean, housing is getting hammered right now too. Right. Certainly anyone who's invested in stocks in the last year has taken a beating. So, you know, I think the big barometer that everybody looks at is the unemployment rate. So the unemployment rate has been very low, which has been kind of one of the big surprises of 2022. How come the economy feels so bad when it's so easy to get a job? And a risk for 2023 is that unemployment rate might start rising if companies lay people off, if the housing sector takes a hit, if consumer spending pulls back, then the last kind of bulwark of the economy would be that unemployment rate. And I think if we see that happening, that's when we probably are going to start seeing the end of this Fed rate increase cycle.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to FoxNewsPodcasts.com.
Speaking of Amazon laying people off ahead of the holidays, what about consumer spending this holiday season? I know retail sales rose from September to October. Found that interesting. I would have thought maybe more spending would have occurred in August or September because of school starting. But I'm reading predictions are that we're going to see strong consumer holiday spending. Do we, if it is or if it isn't, what do we draw from consumer holiday spending about the health of the economy? And maybe prospectively, how do we look at the future of the economy if depending on holiday consumer spending?
Well, all right. So let's pull the lens back a little bit. So in 2021, there was a consumer spending boom. Adjusted for inflation, consumers increased their spending by 8%, which is a lot in an economy that in normal times grows between 2 and 3% a year. So there was pent up demand. People wanted to get out. They wanted to go out to restaurants, go on vacation, see family. And they had a lot of money in their bank accounts because of all these stimulus checks that were handed out by Washington and by low interest rates. So during the first 9 months of 2022, that spending rate slowed to less than 2%. So there already was a consumer spending pullback through the first 9 months of the year. And so then the question is, all right, how does that set us up for the end of the year? Well, October was stronger than some people expected, but those numbers aren't adjusted. The numbers that people talk about, a retail sales report put out by the government, isn't adjusted for inflation. So gasoline prices started rising again, so it showed up in those retail sales numbers. I don't think there's – and we're also hearing from retailers that they're pushing some of their discounting ahead this year, ahead of typical like Black Friday sales spree, because they're trying to supercharge spending going into the holidays. A lot of the retailers we talk to are talking about having too much inventory. Target has said this. The Gap has said this. And so they're talking about doing a lot of discounting. A lot of households that we've looked at through a variety of surveys say that they're going to be doing less gift giving this year. Deloitte does a survey every year of gift-giving plans, and they say that the average household is cutting back on how many gifts they plan to give out to loved ones this year sharply, from more than 15 gifts a person last year to 9. So wow. We're looking, I think the risk is that that spending is subdued, and that also the risk for retailers in particular is that they've got to do a lot of discounting to get people out and opening their purses. And while that's good news for all the kids out there who might get more than, you know, 9 gifts, which is a lot in my book, but it's not great for retailer profit margins. So this might be a quarter that really hits the profit margins of American companies.
Interesting. All right, John, before we let you go, we have to talk about your new book. You focus on Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. Mm-hmm. Very, very interesting, right? Because when you think of cabinet positions, I guess I don't know if there are any more important than Treasury, maybe Defense Secretary. Why did you focus on Janet Yellen? Was it the position or the woman or both?
Well, it was a variety of things. I mean, what struck me, first of all, was that when she was nominated to be the Treasury Secretary of the United States, she was the first person in American history who would serve as the Treasury Secretary, the chair of the Federal Reserve, and the chair of the White House Council of Economic Advisers. So she has held the three most important economic policymaking positions and is the only person in American history who has done that, putting aside the fact that she's a woman and she broke a lot of glass ceilings in doing that. She's the first woman to have run the Fed, the first woman to be running the Treasury. So she just struck me as an interesting figure worth examining. Certainly the inflation we're experiencing now has kind of put her on the hot seat. What really kind of So she was an interesting person, but what made convince me that this was a story that people would actually want to read is, believe it or not, a love story. And that's that Janet Yellen is married to another economist named George Akerlof. George Akerlof won a Nobel Prize. So here you have someone in Janet Yellen who's had the most important, influential economic policy positions in the country. And she's married to someone who really changed the way economists think about how markets work. And I realized that between the two of them, you can cover 60 years of economic history and use them as the two central characters in examining that, from Milton Friedman in the big debates of the 1960s and 70s about free markets to more recent debates about whether markets themselves are rational and efficient, to financial crises. There's just a lot of history there, and they became, to me, two interesting characters through which I could examine that history.
And briefly, because I imagine we'll have you back on to talk more about this, but I guess if you had to sort of tell us what you found in looking back at the past 50 or 60 years of the economy, what would you say to sum it up? I mean, you just mentioned Milton Friedman, but we've gone through quite a bit with tech, with the advent of the internet, with the 2008 financial crisis. I mean, when you look back on all of that, what sort of were you left with?
Well, so this is the crux of the story. The turning point in the story is the year 2000. You know, the 1990s were this booming decade, and that we came out of the 1990s with the American economy roaring, the stock market booming thanks to the tech sector. And I think a view in the establishments and the elites of this country that we had found this beautiful mix of a market-driven capitalist democratic governance of an economy that the rest of the world was going to follow. The Soviet Union had collapsed. Russia seemed to be taking a path in our direction. China was opening its markets. We were opening our trade to it. And I think this kind of American model of capitalist-driven democracy was the ideal. And frankly, there was a great deal of hubris in this country that that it was going to lead the way. And frankly, the last 20 years have been a cascade of crises and disappointments. First of all, China and Russia did not follow that lead, despite our hopes and efforts to bring them along. And then the United States itself has had a series of shocks that we've had to work through. And so the big lesson that I take from this story is that, you know, the book is about a marriage between two people, Janet Yellen and George Akerlof. But it's also about a much bigger marriage, about the marriage of a democratic republic and market-driven capitalism. And the lesson I draw is that that is a very – it's not an easy marriage. It's not inevitable and it's not easy. And we as a country have to constantly be working to kind of strengthen the institutions that make this marriage work, and also constantly reinventing ourselves. And, you know, the debates about – you know, by Milton Friedman in the 60s and 70s about free markets and the role of government. We're in this constant search for this kind of special balance between government and markets. And it's a moving target and we have to constantly be working at it. And if we don't, we have Russia and China to look at as examples of what goes wrong when we don't take care of our own institutions to keep this marriage working.
John Hilzenrath, senior writer at The Wall Street Journal. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. From the Fox News Podcasts Network, Fox News Rewind Financial Crisis 08, a look back at the biggest financial crisis since the Great Depression.
The market is not functioning properly.
Subscribe now at foxnewspodcasts.com. From the Fox News Podcasts Network, subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.